Hey guys, I'm Coach Christy, and today what I want to talk to you about is the ability to have realistic expectations. Are you being realistic when you consider or when you plan on a set of results both for your horse, for yourself, and for your horsemanship instructor or coach? Let's talk about each of those. I think that the first thing to consider is, do I have a realistic expectation of myself? And that's a tough one, but it requires the ability to be self-aware. Do you know what your talents are? Do you know what your strengths are? And do you keep track of the areas where you could spend a little more time improving? For me personally, I spend a lot of time mentally improving myself. I read a ton of books. I listen to podcasts daily. I watch a lot of instructional videos, always trying to improve myself mentally and emotionally as well, to be better for my horses. I know that the more knowledge I have and the more self-awareness I have around my emotional state and, you know, my ability to change that state, will have, you know, really important results when it comes to training my horses. However, the area that I could spend a little more time getting better at would be in my physical fitness. I'm not a big fan of working out. I really actually hate it. Anything that's repetitive and just for the sake of fitness, that there's no element of purpose or fun in it, my brain just really cannot latch on and hold that. So, like everyone in that position, my fitness ebbs and flows. In the wintertime, I have a tendency to slow down and not move as much, and I lose motivation because the weather keeps me from riding, so I am not nearly as physically active. And I'm the kind of person who has spent my whole life trying to design a life that wasn't so crazy that I constantly felt like I need a vacation from it. There's a reason why, you know, I do what I do, and one of the main reasons, of course, is that I love horses. But another reason is that I don't want to be on somebody else's schedule. I don't like that much restriction on my day-to-day activity. That gives you a little bit of insight into my personality, but that's just how I am. So I have yet to find a system or a process that helps me feel good about eating healthier and getting more exercise so that I can take better care of my body. So I'm working on it. I keep exploring. I keep trying. I haven't given up in that area, but it's one of the areas that I struggle. But I'm very aware of it. I don't pretend it's not there. I don't, exaggerate the problem. You know, there are people who are more fit than me and there are people who are less fit than me. And I do realize that gaining some flexibility and more strength and being a little lighter for my frame would have long-term benefits to my health and, you know, to my ability to be good for my horses. So I'm working on it. That's the point. But the point of this podcast is I'm realistic about the limitations of my physical fitness as well, right? So I'm not going to be, you know, the super brave rider because I know I'm not athletic enough to handle anything that a horse maybe might want to throw at me. So the way I manage that is I work really hard to prepare my horses mentally and emotionally so that physically I don't have to try to keep up with them. And so what the payoff for that is, it's going to take me longer than it would take somebody who is more fit physically. And I'm okay with that for right now. And then the next thing to talk about is, do we have realistic expectations of our horses? And what that means to me is in those same three categories, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And a lot of that has to do with just getting to know your horse on an individual basis, right? What do they like personally? Do they like scratches? Do they like being, you know, rubbed and loved on, or do they prefer not? I have a little bit of everything here. My paint horse, Maxie, is not a super, like, canoodly kind of horse. She does not seem to enjoy it when I hug her around the neck or kiss her on the nose. It seems to be something that she tolerates at best. So when I do those things, it's more for me, it's not for her. Where my horse Vanna is a bit more affectionate. She leans into me when I hug her around the neck and puts a lot of effort into letting me kiss her on the nose. So, you know, I am careful to not anthropomorphize those things, and that I'm aware of what it does or does not do for them. And that helps me to have realistic expectations of my actions in those interactions. It's also important for us to keep track of things like, you know, our horse's age. We have to, you know, be mindful of a young horse and their limitations on their ability to stay focused on a task for very long, and their physical limitations because of their, you know, growth plates and, you know, bone structure and stuff like that as they're maturing. So, you know, it's important to adjust our training plan according to, you know, what's realistic for that specific individual based on their age, you know, their breeding, their fitness, their background, their training, all of those things, right? So, you know, having realistic expectations helps me to present my horse with challenges that they have a chance of achieving. Every time I overwhelm or overface my horse and give her an opportunity to know what it feels like to fail, then I'm setting us both up to fail even more in the future. One of the clinicians that I follow a lot right now, I'm really feeling aligned with his philosophies on horse training, is Warwick Schiller. I highly recommend you look him up. Great podcast, great YouTube channel, and actually I'm learning a lot from his online home study program as well. So I highly recommend all of it, but one of the things he says a lot is that he tries really hard to only ask yes questions, right? That when he asks his horse to do something, he considers ahead of time whether or not they have a chance of being able to say yes. And if they have to say no, then instead of continuing to ask them the same question where they say either no, I can't, or no, I won't, you know, how could I rearrange that conversation so a yes is the most natural thing for them to get to, all right? Then the third thing about realistic expectations is make sure you're being realistic about your expectations of your horsemanship coach. And there's a few things I want to talk about in that realm. First of all, I've had a podcast before where I discussed what I call hero worship. And I think it's really common in lots of different industries, right? Whenever there's sort of a hierarchy of like student to instructor to mentor, that kind of, you know, process. And, you know, people who are new get into these, you know, lines of study because something about that thing gets you excited, right? So in horses, it's really, really common, right? You grow up loving horses. It's just one of those things that it seems like you're either born with the horse gene or you're not. And people who are born with the horse gene often don't even come from horsey families. Like, nobody knows where it comes from, but you're just obsessed from birth. Like, as soon as your brain recognizes what a horse is, you know, we have this pull, this drive, this passion to be near them and do things with them and experience life with them nearby. And when you have the horse gene, but you're not in a position where you grew up around horses or had any chance to learn how to train horses or get along with horses, then of course you're going to idolize people who are able to do things that you don't know yet how to do. And with that then, though, sets that person up to fail in some way in your eyes. So it's important to understand that just because a person is good with horses doesn't necessarily mean they're good with people. That happens a lot in the horse industry. And then it doesn't mean that they have everything about life all figured out, right? You don't have to have your expectations of your horsemanship coach be that they're also really good at finances and really good at romantic relationships and really good at, you know, health and you know, all of those things. Like, ask questions of your horsemanship instructor that they can get to a yes to because of their expertise in the horsemanship field. All of that being said, I think that there is a trend in the horsemanship industry for instructors to get in a space where they become, I think, mostly burnt out. I think it happens a lot, especially by the time somebody has been teaching others how to train horses for 15, 20 plus years, of course, if they feel ineffective or that it's too repetitive for them, or maybe they're just not making enough time for their own horsemanship goals, then it's real easy for those people to become assholes, to be quite honest. Like, please forgive my language, but that's how I talk. And I don't think that you need to be tolerant of that. It's unnecessary. You know, a lot of times you'll, you know, get some kickback from people like that because they think that, you know, there's some kind of need for you to be tough, right? That your ability to be resilient in a moment where someone's yelling at you and being verbally degrading and abusive, if you can like suck it up and achieve the goal anyway, well, then that makes you good or special somehow. And maybe it does, that's possible. But I find that it is an unnecessary way to guide someone, right? And that saying something louder and repeatedly the same way is not a good teaching strategy, okay? So what I would challenge you to consider in those moments when you're being yelled at, even though you're in a learner type situation, is this doing me any good? Right? Am I getting more out of this than just the ability to go home and say, I survived, right? Hey, I took it and I didn't let it get me down. And now I'm, you know, able to like show you my scars and check out how tough I am. Well, that's all well and good. But is it necessary? There's so many ways for us to become resilient and learn how to not take things personally. I completely am on board with that. But I do think that there is a line that we can draw, that it's not necessary to be tolerant of verbal abuse in your coaching situation from your coach or mentors. That, you know, being in a learner's frame of mind with a horse in your hands or, you know, while you're sitting on one is hard enough, let alone if the person who you trust, admire, and respect is yelling at you and saying, you know, degrading and abusive things. It's not a great learning situation to be in, and not one that I will ever put you in. So here's my promise to you, my personal professional's promise in this industry. I will be straight with you, right? I'm not going to tell you something's good when what I see doesn't seem good to me. But the language that I use will not be abusive. I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to tell you you can't. I'm not going to tell you you should give up or make any assessments on your personal worth based on what's happening in the arena that day. I might say, you know, that was not what I had in mind. You know, I'll be blunt, right? I'll be direct, usually because, well, it's mostly just in my nature, but also because oftentimes I don't have a lot of time with you, and so I want to make sure that you're getting as much value out of that interaction as possible. But what I won't do is call you names. What I won't do is blame your horse or let you blame your horse. What I won't do is call your horse names, right? What I won't do is say anything that devalues you, your horse, or your horsemanship journey in any way whatsoever, all right? So sometimes when I'm blunt, that can be a little hard to take, and I try really hard to be, you know, cognizant of that and do the best I can to give you as much value out of the situation as possible, but at the same time get to the point as quickly as possible. And, you know, listen, that's not everybody's policy, and it might not even be what you're looking for in a horsemanship coach. I've heard people say they want somebody to kick their ass. That's not really me. I'm not going to do that. I will be straight with you though, okay? And I like it when you're straight with me. That doesn't mean it's always comfortable, right? It's not always, it doesn't make me happy when you say I hurt your feelings. But I'm willing to talk about it. And I think anyone that you put your trust in as a coach, mentor, instructor, guide of any sort should be willing to do that, okay? So have realistic expectations of yourself. And that has a lot to do with self-awareness. Are you mentally, emotionally, and physically prepared to be able to do this thing that you're asking your horse to do? And if not, then let's figure it out. Let's, you know, do we need more information? Do I need more mindfulness? Do I need more physical fitness? Let's find a way to make it happen. Then are you being realistic with your expectations of your horse? And that really has a lot to do with, are you setting up puzzles for them that makes it easy for them to feel successful? Can we get to a yes answer, you know, fairly easily? And then, are you being realistic about your expectations of your coach and mentor? And what I'm telling you right now is that it's not unrealistic to not feel abused. It's not unrealistic for you to have some expectation of some decency and, empathy about being in a learning situation. All right, guys. So there's my little rant for the day. I hope that my words are useful to you. I'd like very much to be your coach. I'd do my very best to help you advance your horsemanship. And so if you enjoyed this podcast, I would consider a close and personal favor. If you'd like, comment, rate, review, and share on whatever platform you're listening to me on. I would love very much to grow my audience, and I thank you for your time. Have a great day.